Hello, ladies. What is going on? Good to see everyone's faces. Welcome to Tuesday evening. And excited to get started. Want to recap a couple of things before we get moving, and then we'll open up for questions. So a couple of things. No tutorial this week. As you guys know, we sent out one last week on beta testing, so that may or may not be applicable to you. As I mentioned last week, we are now in the kind of bells and whistles section of the curriculum. Nuts and bolts up until this point. Raise your hand, raise your actual hand, if you have created a lead magnet so far. So if you've ever created a lead magnet, you have a lead magnet, raise your hand. Okay, cool. So now we are in the process of promoting it, and we'll get into that. I know a lot of you guys are in promotion mode, and it can be an emotional roller coaster. A lot of you guys have talked about how just energetically it takes a lot out of you, and how you get a little bit stressed, and you're trying to manage your expectations and things like that. We'll get into that as well, because it only gets more challenging once you start asking for money, right? So asking for an email address is great, and it's one thing. But eventually we do want to ask for money. So we need to get super comfortable with pushing it and detaching from outcomes and doing our best and doing all those great things. But beta testing was last week's tutorial, and it is all about how to get some reps before you either do it for free or do it at a highly discounted option, so that you can get some testimonials, you can get some feedback, you can get some clinical experience under your belt, you can get some amazing case studies. And you might just be in a position where you're not quite sure that you're good yet and you want to get some reps in. And so you say, you know what? And I've had people, like clients like this in the past, they said, well, I don't feel comfortable charging for it yet, because it's almost like if I just keep giving away free stuff, I'm not on the hook, right? Like if I just keep giving away free stuff, like I'm not on the hook to get someone a result. So let me just keep doing free stuff, and that's fine, but at some point we do have to jump. And so I think wading into it in a highly discounted beta option is a good option. This could be something that you might use for group coaching, could even use it for one-on-one. If you're going to use it for like some sort of DIY or self-paced course, maybe that's a freebie, and we talked a little bit about that last week. And so now that you guys have your lead magnets, you're putting together either, you know, PDFs, webinars, courses, challenges, anywhere from, if it's a challenge and it's a timely challenge. So for example, when I say timely, I mean everyone starts together, everyone ends together. Typically we're in that like 5 to 14 day period of a free challenge. And then, you know, if you're doing an e-course, maybe that's 5 days, maybe a download. Remember, you're calling something, if it's a PDF download, we want to make sure that we're calling it something other than ebook. I think sometimes ebook feels really low value because so many people are used to like an ebook kind of being like low value, or they're free on like Kindle or whatever. So to call it like a system or a blueprint or a checklist or a cheat sheet, or, you know, a resource guide. Like a resource guide would be something like all my, you know, top protein powders and protein bars, right? So you're going to do the legwork for them, and you're going to stick it into a PDF, and now it's a resource guide. So anything like that. Now, I said this before, creating it is the fun part, right? Being creative is the fun part. The hard part is marketing it. The hard part is getting out in front of people. The hard part is talking about it in a compelling way. We have a couple of tools to get you ready. The first is signature description. So if you raised your hand and said that you had a lead magnet, how many of you guys have taken a stab at your signature description? Raise your hand if you have taken a stab at your signature description. Okay, cool. So as a reminder, signature description simply answers the question, why should I give a shit? Why should I give a shit? You're putting this free thing in front of me. I already get a ton of emails in my inbox. I already, you know, have signed up for a ton of marketing emails from various places. And now you're asking to take up real estate in my inbox. I need to know a good reason why I should give you my email address. How is this thing going to change my life? How is this thing going to impact my day-to-day? How am I going to get some amazing, you know, outcome from this thing for free? So that then I can decide if I actually want to part with my money and work with you. So the freebie, of course, or the lead magnet is great because people get to experience what it's like to work with you, or they get to experience what it's like to, you know, either coach with you, your education on some level, your frameworks, your systems, in a very low risk way before having to invest. And you now have their email address, so you can start building that relationship. In that first follow-up message, hopefully you're asking for their feedback. You're asking for them to respond back to you, to give them some insight into what they're really struggling with. Again, normally that response rate is going to be like 1 to 2%. So don't be stressed if you're not getting responses. That's pretty normal, but we're going to start using that to have an ongoing relationship. So I don't care if you have 10 people in your email list, you should be emailing them either once a week or once every 2 weeks to keep them engaged, to give them some sort of value that they can't just get on social media. Now, I know sometimes this gets a little bit draining because you have so many different places that content can go, right? So there's social media content, then there's like email newsletter content, maybe there's Facebook closed group content, maybe there's lead magnet content, then there's paid content, right? So sometimes it can feel like it's just so much stuff to create, and especially if you have created a lead magnet and now you're promoting it. So a lot of the questions, and I want to give you guys some insight into this, as you're promoting the lead magnet, it should almost feel like you're launching something. That's what it should feel like. It should feel like you're pouring a lot of energy into trying to get this lead magnet in front of as many people as possible. It can't be a soft sell. It can't just be like, hey guys, I have this thing. If you want it, link in bio. Like, it needs to be compelling enough for people to want to go to the link in your bio, click on the thing, put their email address in, you know, get the confirmation email if there is one, and actually consume the lead magnet. So there's a lot of steps that people can opt out, and that's what can be stressful about it. So we have to remember that these people act just like we act, right? We're busy, we're not reading shit, we have very low attention spans, right? So I always try to remind myself that the people I'm promoting to act just like I act, right? Maybe they'll download an ebook and never open it up. Maybe they'll do a course and they won't open the emails. Like, and this is just normal human behavior. Try not to take it personally, but when it's our baby and when it's our thing and the thing that we are working so hard on, sometimes it can feel really personal. I put this all this work and time and effort in, and I put it out there and no one downloaded, or only 10 people download, or only got 20 people to opt in, or whatever it is. And I want to validate that feeling, because it truly is your baby and you feel like you work so hard on it. You want as many people as possible to gain access to it because it's so good. And because you work so hard on it, and you know it can help them, it can change their lives. But at the end of the day, they're not opting in because they don't like you. They're not opting in because somehow they don't think you're credible. In fact, they're following you. So they probably already do know you, like you, trust you, right? It's just that they have a million other things going on. And while for us, this is like front-facing, most important thing in our sphere right now, because it's the thing we're working on, for them, it's a blip on the screen, right? It's like, it's a nothing. It's like, I just scrolled by it. I don't even know what that was. I didn't even reach it. I mean, I don't even know if I want to get my email address for that, or I already get so many emails, right? So we have to become better marketers. And when I say marketer, I just mean making a compelling case. And that's all that is, a practice. So your signature description, there's a script in that tutorial that kind of goes through how to talk about this thing. I always, no matter what I'm promoting, whether it's free or for pay, or even just a click on social media, even if it's like a free thing, I want to get people over to a blog, I'm always doing what's called selling the click. Sell the click, sell the click, sell the click. So even if I'm like, hey guys, I wrote a blog, I can't be like, maybe 10 years ago, I could be like, new blog post up, and that would be it. But now I really have to frame it up. I have to have like some sort of pre-frame. So anytime I want anyone to do anything online, I have to remember to be compelling, even if it's free, even if it's a blog post that I wrote, even if it's a YouTube video I did. Don't assume that it's valuable because it's for free. I think sometimes we think, well, you know, the value is self-evident, it's free. Why wouldn't they download it? Why wouldn't they join it? We really have to be compelling. And so marketing, I've said this many times, is a practice. And you're not going to be good right out of the gate. And you're not supposed to be. This is a new skill. You're literally learning a new language. So how many of you guys, now that you have your you know, kind of business hat on, are starting to see some patterns in maybe some of the emails that you get in your inbox, or maybe some people you follow? You're probably like, ooh, I know what they're doing there. Ooh, I know what this is now. That's good, because you're starting to notice, like, who's a good marketer? This is something I always ask myself. If I ever invest in something, I always go, why did I invest? Like, what was it about that program, or what was it about that person, or what was it about that piece of copy even, that made me feel like I wanted to opt in? Whether it's free, whether it's for pay, whether it's click on the thing, what about this person is compelling to me? What are they saying? And then we can use that to kind of deconstruct and learn. So instead of reading someone's stuff and comparing yourself and being like, oh, they're such a good marketer, I suck at this, I'm not good, like, oh my God, this is taking forever, look at it and try to learn something. At least like that's for me. I get a lot of emails from digital marketers, and it's not because I initially want to buy their courses. you know, some of them I have bought their courses. I more just like it because I want to see like what they're doing. I want to know like, how are they talking about this stuff? And when you have your business hat on, you can kind of start to see some of those things. And try not to let it get you down. Try to take it in and go, cool, I see what they're doing here. Like, you can pick out social proof super easily now, right? You probably see people all the time being like, my clients ask me all the time about XYZ, right? That's social proof in action. And we're utilizing that same stuff. Screenshots in social media, like, you're starting to be like, wow, this person, if you're following someone, you're like, wow, they're like, they're putting up a lot of DM conversations they're having. They have a lot of before and afters. They're, you know, putting up a lot of like client testimonials. You're like, wow, this person like has a legit fucking business. That's cool. Whether or not they do or not, the perception is that they do because they're putting up all the social proof all the time. So you can start to see the different ways that people are marketing. The second piece of promoting anything is it needs to be also educational. This is where I think sometimes we get lost in promotion because we're like, I've already said the same thing a million times. Like, it's here, go to the link. It feels repetitive to you. I want you to practice getting outside of the box. So for example, if I was gonna be promoting, let's just say I'm gonna be promoting like a 5-day mindset challenge, right? 5-day mindset challenge. So I can't, not every post can just be like, mindset challenge starting on Monday, get it Monday, we're all doing it on Monday. Like, you can't just be like this constant just promotion about it. It needs to be based on stories, insights, tools around mindset. So maybe I'll tell a story of how, you know, I made a shift into doing more mindset work. Like, what was the one thing or a handful of things that really made me take a look at this part of my life? Or, you know, how has this played a role in, you know, my relationships? How is this played a role in my ability to build my business? What's one single tool that has completely changed the way I perceive the world? And teach in those posts. So I want you guys thinking outside the box, and I want you thinking laterally and tangentially, like into these other conversations. So don't just think it's just a mindset course, that's the only thing I can talk about. I want you to talk about everything under the umbrella of mindset. That can be relationships, that can be business building, that can be relationship with food, right? There's so many different things under the umbrella of mindset that at the very end of a post like that or an email like that, you can literally just tie it back into what you're promoting with a couple sentences. You can literally say something like, which is why I felt so compelled to create my own 5-day mindset challenge. I'm going to be actually taking you through step by step the ways in which I've changed my perception and my relationship with food in this course, step by step, all of my best practices put in one place, right? So that's like 2 or 3 sentences at the very bottom of a post. So the post itself isn't about the 5-day mindset challenge. The post itself is about my relationship, my fucked up, you know, relationship with food or my history with food obsession. And then at the bottom, that's when I put in the call to action for the thing that I want them to do. And so that is called, and I've talked to this before, this is called like active promotion, right? Or active content, where it's like, it's teaching at its core so that after the promotional period is over, you could theoretically just delete those last couple sentences and the post would still make sense. Like, oh, this is a great post about my relationship with food. There's no call to action anymore because I deleted those sentences, but it still makes sense on its own. So as you guys start to get better at that, it will feel a little more natural and you'll be like, okay, I don't feel so limited. And then also remember that people are, if you're trying to manage your expectations, people aren't reading stuff for the most part. So on Instagram, because Instagram is a visual platform, one of the things we need to remember is that first and foremost, we got to get eyes on the post. So your image needs to be good enough to get them to even read the caption. Right? So the image itself needs to be aesthetic enough to get them to even read the caption. Because if they don't read the caption, then there's not even going to be a hope for them to see that there's an offer, that there's a freebie or whatever, there's something for them to do. So image always first, an amazing caption will never save a bad photo. So we got to make sure that our photos are good. Maybe they're like curiosity peaking. Maybe they are counterintuitive. Maybe they're like bomb dropping a little bit. Maybe they're a little edgy. Maybe they're lying in the sand. If you are promoting something, now is the time to maybe be a little bit more polarizing because you need the eyes. So while polarization will maybe result in a couple of people maybe not liking it or unfollowing or whatever, it will also get your post in so many more eyes, land on the explore tab, bring in a lot more new people, right? And so we want to think about if we're promoting something, now is the time to be maybe a little bit edgy. When you're not promoting, cool, go back to like whatever content tickles your fancy. But when you're promoting something, it's important that the image, especially on a visual platform like Instagram, is eye-catching enough for them to stop scrolling, give you the 10 seconds that they have to read the caption, to be pulled in enough that they are interested in what it is you have to offer and want to maybe do the next thing with you. And so that's kind of the first thing to remember. The second thing is, you know, people don't have the attention span. So we need to do it over and over and over again, which is why I do a 10-day promo. It's long enough that we have enough time to get it on their radar, but it's short enough that we don't feel like we're constantly having to talk about it forever and ever and ever ongoing. So no time, no attention. We're up against a lot of obstacles. But that being said, the people that you end up getting are going to be highly qualified leads because they jump through all the hoops, right? Maybe you did an Instagram mini training on your stories and they watched all 10 slides. I don't care how many people watch all the way through. I only care about the people who watch all the way through. If they watch all the way through, they're going to be warmed up, right? Those are the people who are the most warm leads. They're willing to do the thing that you want them to do. They're the ones who are going to go to the link in your bio. They're the ones who are going to get their email address, like all this kind of stuff. So I don't care how many people watch all the way through. I only care about the ones who do. And so it's your job to make it as engaging as possible, maybe eye-catching as possible. Maybe you have, you know, written content, you have great energy. I can see the way that you animate. I see the way that your face moves, your body moves, your body language. I hear your voice now. It feels a lot more intimate. And they're going to watch all the way through, which means that they're interested in the content, and then they're going to click and they're going to do the thing. Highly qualified leads. So I want you guys to think about, instead of like, I need the most people, I want you to think, I want the best people. Instead of I want the most people, it's I want the most best qualified people. So I don't care if you have 20 people in your lead magnet, like those people are highly, highly qualified, and chances are good that that conversion into whatever the paid thing is going to be fairly high as well. Of course, obviously, once we continue to build the audience, the numbers will get bigger too. The conversion will probably get less. Right now, the people you have in your kind of inner circle are already, they already know you, like you, trust you. They are acquaintances, friends, family members, all that kind of things. You'll start to bring in more strangers over time. But even if you bring in strangers, you're still going to have to warm up. So I don't know if I shared this with you guys. I don't think I did. But during lean building, we did beta testing as the lead magnet, and it worked really well. We got a lot of organic leads, but most of the leads we got, I would say probably 2/3 of the leads that we got were paid. So they're brand new people to me. So the percentage of people who purchased lean building eventually, who were organic leads, who already knew me, was much higher than the new leads. So while we brought in an additional like 8,000 something new email subscribers through paid traffic, those people weren't warmed up yet. So our conversion was lower, but they're still in my email list, right? They'll still get warmed up over time. They'll maybe eventually buy, maybe 3 months later, maybe 3 years later. I'm not in charge of that. So it's always good to get those leads. But you guys, probably because you are doing mostly, if not all, organic traffic at this point, you are going to be super warmed up. So it's a constant managing of your expectations, managing of your energy. This is a new skill. So be gentle with yourself. Like, you have got to be gentle with yourself. You're not supposed to know how to do this. So try to detach from outcomes. I know that's a lot easier said than done, especially when you pour your like energy and you pour your time and effort into something. You want it to be as successful as possible. But I want to remind you, you're new still, and that's okay. Like, you're still doing all the things, you're doing your best, and I want you guys to just be like so fucking grateful that anyone gives you their email address and that like people are willing to give you money over the internet. Like, that's amazing. And this is the first 4 months, a lot of you guys, first 4 months of your journey. This is the first 4 months of the next 4 years, the next potential 14 years of you as an internet business or longer. And so I know while everything can feel really urgent and really important all the time, I want to remind us to relax into this process. And, you know, I try and think back on, this is always the best I can give you guys, you know, the first couple of years of JillFit, you know, my first launch at JillFit, I made like $100, $200. Like, it wasn't a lot. It was just maybe $150. And then I launched something else like a few months later and made like $400. And I launched something else like months later and made like $700, right? So it like, and then maybe if I was lucky 18 months into the process, I finally, you know, made $10,000 or something on a launch, you know? So it's like, it progressively gets more. So I want you guys to just have the perspective, like, I love this. I'm doing this. I want this to exist in the world. And if people you know, give me their email address because they want to hear from me, like how fucking amazing that is. Someone gives me money over the internet, how amazing that is. If they give me a chance to take up real estate in their inbox, how amazing that is. And if this helps one person, it's worth it. And I know those are a lot of like really kind of tough pills to swallow at times, but remind you guys, like this is a marathon. It feels like a race because you're learning everything so fast. You're like literally learning everything in internet business within 6 months. So it feels really fast. But once you get through this, you can relax into the process a little more. Okay, it's the same process every single time. It was interesting. So you guys know I have the other FBA group, which the girls have been with me for about a year, almost a year and a half now. And a few of them said, you know, watching you go through lean building now and launching it and seeing it from the business lens versus maybe a year ago, I didn't really understand it. So I didn't really know what you were doing really. I kind of saw it, but I wasn't, and now I have a greater understanding so I can watch it a little bit more closely and really understand it a lot better. And I really think that that's true. I think it takes 6 months, 12 months, 18 months to fully integrate everything that you're learning here and practice it multiple times and really kind of manage your energy around it. So be gentle with yourself. If you're feeling stressed out, if you're feeling energetically tapped, if you're feeling like the outcome is not commensurate with the effort you're putting in, all of that is normal right now. It gets a lot better. It does get easier. It gets more seamless and all that kind of stuff as you guys are taking more action and getting more experience. So I commend you for all the action you have been taking. I've been seeing that you guys have been tagging me in your posts and I love that. And I'm just always just so impressed with how much action you're taking, especially when you're feeling maybe uncomfortable or uncertain or unsure, and you guys are doing it. So I'm really proud of that. Good. Okay. Pep talk over. Do you have a question? Go ahead and raise your hand in the chat section, not physically in the chat section. We'll just go in order. So I have Jessica Leck and then I have Leanne.
Hey there.
Hello.
So I have multiple lists on AWeber, and for my coaching, group coaching that I'm doing right now, the open rate is like 95%. And awesome. Then on my main list, I have like 400 people, and it's like open rate is 30 to 35%. So I'm wondering, like, I know that a lot of my current clients at my brick and mortar tell me that my emails go to their spam. So like, is there a way to increase that on my end or to get your number up?
Yeah. So one of the things you can do is, especially after you, like even on the opt-in, you can actually tell them like, hey, there's a chance that this might be, I mean, when your emails go to spam, it does suck, but at the end of the day, that's their email server trying to protect them. So it's a good thing in the long run for all of us, but it does make it sometimes harder. And believe me, it happens to me too. And it happens pretty much across the board on all email responders. It's a little bit different deliverability on some, but on the opt-in page, you can actually put like maybe under the button, you can say, hey, if you don't see an email within a couple of minutes, make sure you check your junk email folder and make sure you put this email address, whatever your email address is, on your safe emails list so that it won't go to spam in the future or something like that. That's normally what I do. I'll usually put that on my thank you page, but if you don't have a thank you page or you don't have a custom one, you can actually put it right on the landing page. And hopefully they'll put it on their safe emails list and so that you won't go to junk email. But sometimes, you know, even emails that I've said are safe sometimes go to spam that I get, you know. So I think a couple of you guys mentioned some other, like, you know, email providers that you use. Maybe you can chime in the chat section about, you know, how the deliverability has been. I mean, you're never going to get away from that, unfortunately, Jessica. I wish that you were. I mean, it really is in place to protect the person getting the emails. But it does suck for us sometimes. So then I'm just like, cool, more people in the pipeline, right? So, but you know, on your larger list, that's a good email open rate, 30 to 35%. I would like for most of you guys who have, you know, are just getting started and you're maybe in that like 50 subscribers to 10,000 subscribers, in that range, you should be at about 30% open rate.
25. Okay. Because I did the juicy email is coming out, and I had a lot of people sign up for it, but then I checked back because one of them is my relative, and I was like, oh, did she read the email? And she didn't even open it, so it probably went to her spam, which...
Did you create a sign up form on AWeber?
Is that
okay,
and so it does have the confirmation, and she even confirmed it.
Oh, really? And then it just...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe even after, you can actually customize the confirmation page maybe after, like on the confirmation page, you can say, hey, make sure you check your junk email folder because you're going to get an email right away or something like that. So you can put some of these qualifiers on the pages as well. Okay. Yeah, that does kind of suck, but you can also take off the confirm email. So you can only do that if you're not using a third party provider. So if you're using lead pages or you're like, then you can't use, you can't take off the double opt-in. But if you're just sending people to a landing page that you create on AWeber or a sign up form you create on AWeber, you can go back to the list settings. So you go back to just like, you know, the main homepage where all the lists are listed, click on it, and then you can change the confirmation email to not be a double opt-in. So you can actually take that off and then it'll just get, they'll just get the first email. They won't get a confirmation email.
Okay. Thanks,
everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I also had one more question. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say you might do that on this one.
Okay. This is about like my coaching program right now. I had 47 people sign up for it. So we're in week two and it's going well. But of course, there are the few that like don't respond to my texts. One person told me, well, I've just did this 3-month challenge and then this 10-day and I'm not going to do it. And I understand that people are sometimes they overload themselves. But if you have someone that just like kind of falls off, like how much effort do you usually put into checking in with them? Because I want them to think like, you know, that I'm doing a good job, but also I don't want to be like their mother and harass them. And that's not the client I want general. So like
the balance. So normally what I do is I'll reach out. Sometimes I think most people disengage either because they feel overwhelmed, right? They'll disengage mostly because they feel overwhelmed and it's not necessarily like you doing it, but if they tend to fall behind, they'll feel a lot of shame and guilt over that, right? And they'll feel unworthiness, like, well, I don't even want to come. I don't want to show up because I don't even know what we're doing. And like, that's embarrassing to me. So it's normally probably like an embarrassment, guilt, shame, sort of unworthiness thing. That's why they just feel like they're too far behind. So I would extend an olive branch and say all of that when you do. So instead of saying like, hey, so-and-so, just checking in on you, how's it going? That maybe puts them on the spot. I would say, hey, you know, a lot of people, I don't know exactly what's going on with you, but I can tell you that, you know, a lot of people will tend to check out if they feel like they're behind or, you know, they feel maybe like they've kind of fallen off. So they don't really feel like worthy of talking in the group or, you know, reaching out. I just want you to know that that's normal. And I would love to have you back. Like, let's maybe just jump on a quick like call and just see where you're at. And so you don't feel behind and we can just get you back, like, you know, like right back into it. So maybe extend an olive branch and mention those kind of things. And then if they don't respond, typically they respond to something like that. If they still don't respond, then I think it's okay to just kind of like let it go or try and reach out again in a couple weeks, similar mentality. Oftentimes people do want to get back into it. They just feel unworthy because they have not been following along. They're so, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And also, just as a preemptive measure for all of us, you guys know this, like, I don't need you to tell me that you feel behind. I'm like, people tend to feel behind, so I will just preemptively say that. A lot of times. Remember what I told you on like week number one? I was like, all you don't want you to disengage. That's it. Just show up to the calls. You don't have to ever speak. You don't have to have your video on. Just show up to the calls and stay engaged and you will be successful. And that's truly like, so you can have this kind of ongoing conversation about that, Jessica, just so if people are thinking about pulling away, they'll go, okay, I remember what she said. Okay, like, what do I need to do? You have like the tangible action step. But I think if you kind of talk about how you know that this happens and it's common, and it's okay, then a lot more likely to bring it up to you rather than just ghost.
And I did put that in the first email because you used that a long time ago and I thought that was really good to just kind of give them a heads up. Like, so I'll maybe send an email and touch back on that again.
Life's going to happen. You're going to get busy. You're going to want to disengage. You're going to feel behind. Like, just tell them all those things in advance. And so, yeah, I would just bring it up again.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. It's normal though. Don't take it personally.
Okay. It's just a few, so that's good. But so my check-ins, I do it on Jotform each week and probably 35 of them checked in out of 46. So I was pretty happy with that. And then I've checked in with the other people via text, but so yeah, it's going well, but you just always have those few people and it is kind of hard to know like where the line is of.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, obviously, it's a grown ass person. Like, you're not going to go and chase it down either. Like,
right.
You know, so, and then one other thing that sometimes I'll evaluate is like, how easy am I making it for them to check in? So when you look at your Jotform, is it like too extensive that they're like how long is it taking them to do? Is it taking them like, I would say it probably should take them like less than 5 minutes. You know, yeah. So if it's too long, that's going to be a huge barrier to entry. They might have momentum at the beginning, but then like, fuck, I'll do it later. And they never end up doing it. So also look at your systems too.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Good question. I think a lot of us can definitely relate to that for sure. Okay, Leanne, and then Lauren.
Hi guys. Question. Okay. So today was my last day of switching gears. I did a 30-day that consistency habit building. Yep. And then I was a dollar a day. So we talked about last week and how I wanted to like level it up. So I introduced it to that small group. There was 11 people. And I kind of said, okay, if you're, I kind of asked them like feedback and how do you feel about if we got a little bit more serious. And so they were really like pumped about it. So I did like you said, and I told them what I was thinking of and did like I'm going to do like a level up program where it's going to be a little bit more customized, their workouts for them. And if they wanted to, that I would give like specific like nutritional guidelines for their specific goals. Like I told them you would, you know, set one or two goals that you may have, how many times you want to work out a week, what max time do you want to work out, and like what kind of equipment you have. And then I would develop a little program so customized for them. So I gave them the fee to sign up early, which was holding the rate. So they did. But now I want to do it right because I never really took the whole 10 days and did that 10-day blueprint that you had given us. So tomorrow I'm going to start that 10-day blueprint for this next phase. And like you said, I'm going to price it at like 47 for everybody else because everybody else that my old timers are at 30. But quick question is, now, do you think I should, I don't mind playing around with the Facebook ads. I know that's in your blueprint, but I'm not sure if it's like, what do you feel about that? And how would I go about doing that?
I'm not a huge fan of doing paid traffic for sales.
Okay.
If you're like kind of just figuring it out. What I do like paid traffic for is leads, email addresses, and we'll get into that towards the end of FBA. We have a module on paid traffic. But if you're selling, I'm not a huge fan of selling.
Okay.
People.
Okay, so guys.
Just do organic. You know, okay. And you incentivize the women who have already signed up for the next level that like, hey, maybe they, you know, if they bring in a friend, they get their registration or something like that. Like it's totally up to you. But if you're wanting to get new eyes, people that you normally would not have had access to otherwise, you might even say, hey, like if you refer out and one of your, you know, friends or family members signs up, I'm happy to comp your month for you.
Got it. Good. That's a good idea. I'll do that. So I'm going to definitely follow the blueprint, right? I should do that, right? Follow this blueprint. Okay. So my next question is this. I've been following you and like Ashley Fillmore, mm-hmm. That's your client, right? So I've seen like what you guys have been doing through lean building and the emails that came through with the beta test and for her the last 10. So I noticed that on your guys' emails to us, it always comes into the subject as like parentheses, hashtag lean building and then the subject line or hashtag the last 10. Now, did you do that on purpose in your subject or is that something that you added as a tag in AWeber?
Yeah, no, it's on purpose because I want it to feel cohesive, right? So you were probably signed up for the beta workouts. So that's why I want it to be like, it will increase the open rate if they know why they're getting it. Right.
Oh, okay.
Like hashtag lean building in brackets. They're like, oh, okay. It's about lean building. Right. Oh yeah. I did sign up. Oh yeah. Let me see. Like your open rate's going to be higher. Cause it feels like it's a series of things. Right.
Got
I did for ready, fire, aim. Remember you guys like for ready, fire, you always hashtag ready, fire, aim.
Yeah. So we should do that for our product. Like whatever hashtag we should bracket it.
So not if you're selling necessarily.
Not if we're, okay.
So, couple things. Number one, remember there's evergreen lead magnets.
Yeah.
Evergreen are just available all the time, right? So this would be like, hey guys, like what Jessica was talking about, like I'm sending out this like super juicy email, like just get in my list. So that would be just like those normal broadcasts that go out all the time. Do not have to have a bracket. They just need to be enticing enough for us to get to open them, right? So subject line needs to be juicy still. But there's also these timely lead magnets where everyone's going through, like if you think back to how you guys went through Ready, Fire, Aim, Ready, Fire, Aim was a free lead magnet with the purpose of selling into FBA. So there was a clear path that we were going to be taking together, right? And
okay. So
I wanted you to know every time you opened up those emails that you were getting it because you were in Ready, Fire, Aim. and we had been talking about FBA. You guys knew it was coming, like, and it was kind of a sequence, that, a journey that I was taking you on. But when I open up FBA to the public, I don't put hashtag ready fire aim.
I get it.
What the fuck that is, because they didn't do it, right? So you want to make it feel cohesive and like, so people can follow along with the journey of what's happening.
Okay. So as I'm starting to sell it, I don't need to do that, because I want to start to send out like, maybe like every couple of days, just like a blast, a broadcast, kind of pumping it up.
Sure.
So I just need a juicy subject line for it to get them to open it.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Okay, got it. Thank you.
That's good. Yeah, it's a good question. That's exciting. Yeah. I mean, the best thing about the 10-day, and I'm actually going to introduce you to an 11-day launch when we, so you guys have the 10-day promo blitz for the freebies. And really, it's just do your best. There's a million things on there, right? And so you could do as much or as little as you want. Obviously, the more you do, the better the outcomes, probably. But some of it, you're just gonna be like, I don't have time, or I don't have the mental juice. Yeah. Or whatever, you know, and it's okay. Like, do the best you possibly can. Leave it all out there. You know, whenever I launch, I'm tired, but I also try to do as much as I possibly can so that I can really feel confident that, like, I did everything I could and I can be at peace with that. And then I can just go, cool, I let the chips fall. I did everything I possibly could. And, you know, then I can debrief and go, what could I have done better next time? You know, what messages didn't work? What ones did work? Maybe what bonuses worked? What didn't? What maybe fell flat, right? So, you know, I try to just do everything I possibly can to the best of my ability and let that be enough. Because, well, what are we going to do? Beat ourselves up? No, it's like, do your best and let it and learn from it.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Awesome. You got it. Okay, let's go with Lauren and then Jessica Smith.
Hey, Jill. Hey, everybody. I sort of just had some more, bigger picture questions for you about strategy and like timelines. Mm-hmm. So I, just wrapped up my first big one-on-one offering. It was pretty good. I had four people that completed the session, the 2 month session.
Awesome.
So, and then I have an evergreen, service, which is a rugby specific weightlifting program. And so now I'm sort of trying to decide what to do next or where to focus my energy. I'm super excited about like continuing forward, but also like tired and wanting to be efficient about the next steps that I take. So I guess my question for you is, what advice would you give me or any of us as far as mapping out the next year? Mm-hmm. You mentioned in one of our other calls that you do about 2 big launches a year, I think you had said. So I guess now that I kind of know, now that I've done, you know, these different pieces and I kind of know what to put into them, I want to map out sort of the next year. What advice would you give?
It's a great question. And this is a great question. So typically, what I do is I have one new product per year. So because you guys are building your product suite, you'll probably launch like 3 different things this year. And that's cool. Like, you have maybe one group offering, maybe one DIY offering, maybe one one-on-one offering. And that's cool. So like, you'll probably get all of the offering, like the first like base level, like suite offers this year. Then on top of it, you usually want to just do one new program per year so that you have time and space to really do a great job with the launch. So typically I would say launching no more frequently than every 2 months. So you can do 6 launches a year. That's fine. But typically, remember, when we talk about longer lead times and getting it on people's radars, you're always going to do better if you have more ramp up time. So I call that anticipation phase, where you're like, steering the conversation, you're telling people this stuff is important, you're talking about the program, you're getting the lead magnet ready, like all of these kind of like ramp up pieces, the anticipation of it. So that takes some time. I think if you know, are like, oh, I'm going to launch this thing next week, it's like, that doesn't really give you as much time. And it's okay to do that, especially in the beginning, right? You're just like, boom, 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 I'm taking action. But as you start to get more settled in your business and don't need cash all the time right away, I would say every 2 to 3 months is probably ideal. So I would say, you know, for you guys, you can launch 6 times this year, and that's cool. And then as your launches get bigger and you're bringing in more revenue, you won't have to launch as frequently. Does that make sense? So typically I would say, you know, start with 6 over the next year, and those can be alternating, maybe one group option, one one-on-one offer, and one DIY, and launch them each twice.
And it's okay to like relaunch something or bring something to attention that already exists.
Yeah, even if it's a, so this is a great question. So if you have an evergreen offer, like you're not doing an open and close cart like you have, just decide, okay, for the next, 10 days, I'm going to blitz it out. And maybe you drop the price, maybe you add a bonus. Like you can do something like that. You can, discount it, or you can add an exclusive bonus that, like an expiring bonus. Like the bonus is over after 10 days. The program is still available, but maybe the bonus goes away or maybe the price point goes back up, right? So that's a way. Evergreen products are a little bit tough because there's not as much urgency and scarcity to get it because the cart's not closing. So that's why there needs to be something else that's going to, maybe there's some sort of exclusive bonus or maybe a call with you or some additional value or discount that changes. So just pick 10 days and, like you said, exactly, bring attention back to it. But I would also even anticipate that a little bit. So for example, you have this evergreen offer. Maybe you're like, okay, maybe June 1, you want to start promoting it. That gives you the next 3 weeks to start building anticipation, getting people excited. June 1, we're opening the doors for this bonus is going, like something's happening. So still use some teasers between now and June 1, right? Or unless you're just going to do a flash sale. So you can also do a flash sale where you're just like, you drop the price, 72 hours only, still teasers though. Check your inbox on Monday. I'm super excited. I'm gonna drop a gift in there for you on Monday. Like, so still some teasers so that they're on alert, and then 72 hour, sale, flash sale or something like that. But we don't want to do all flash sales all the time. I think sometimes we can just get into that because we're like, I need cash. Quick, I'm going to drop the price on this. I would rather you take a little bit more time, be a little more patient with it, and do a real launch. But yes, 10 days.
Okay, cool. And then as I'm sort of thinking through like next steps and planning all of this out, I'm wondering how to decide if the service that I offered, of course, I'm going to tighten it up and, I've learned a lot, but how have you realized when a service is just not quite hitting the need that's out there and when it's time to pivot? Or since this is kind of the first or second time that I've really, offered different services, that I just need to stick it out, things will fall into place, and it's just a reps thing.
Yeah, you do need to get a baseline. So you have an offer, and you don't know that it's quite the right product, but you do know that it's valuable, and you do know that if people do it, they'll get a result. So then it just becomes your job to be a good marketer. So then you have to ask yourself, what are the messages that are going to resonate for this program, right? Again, we can't just like, the value of it's not self-evident. So we have to go, okay, what struggle is this solving? Like, what problem is this solving? And then speak to that piece. And if you're a good marketer, you're always going to sell some of it, right? And you might not sell as much. And what I usually do after a launch is I will ask people who did not purchase why they didn't purchase. And it is such a gift to get that intel, because now you go, and it could be normally stuff like, price, timing, stuff like that, but it gives you insight into, okay, maybe it wasn't the right offer. So if you have a lot of people saying, well, I just didn't think it was for me, because we know that people don't purchase for one of a couple of reasons. Either they don't know what the fuck it is, because we have not been clear on the value, or they don't think it's for them. So it might just be like, they don't know that it's for them yet. Whereas you're probably like, of course it's for them, but they don't see it as for them. So that's a communication issue. So oftentimes that's why I say, get a baseline, launch it as is, be like, this is the best product I could create. This is what I think people need. Now it's my job to communicate the value of it. And then we'll just let the chips fall, see how it goes. And we can start doing some research afterwards to ask people why they didn't purchase. And then you can also go back to the drawing board and do some market research again. And you can even say, like, you guys should be saying on your stories, hey, you guys, I'm thinking about putting together a program about XYZ. Would that be something that you're interested in? So then you can see, like, people are like, yes or no. Not everyone who says yes is going to buy, by the way. But they will tell you their interest level, or they might be like, nah, it's not really for me, or I'm not really in the market for something like that. And they're like, okay, scrap it. Or, and this is one of my favorite things, is selling before you make it. So you sell it first to see how many people you get in. And if it doesn't take, then you don't have to create it, right? So, or you can just sell it on, like, it's what you think it's going to look like. And based on the feedback that you get, maybe you change it along the way, right? So you could also do that, but I know you already have this service. So I would just go ahead and do it, do your best to market it, and then we can debrief after.
Cool. One last question for you. So everyone who I have worked with on one service or another, or they've not bought, but they've reached out and gotten an email list. I put them all on a like newsletter list, but I have tagged them as how I know them or how I got their email. Do you do any like reaching out to those like subgroups to like re-engage them? So like they'll all see my general newsletter, but I didn't know if it would make sense to also like bucket those smaller chunks who signed up for this or that and try to like, I don't know, engage them in a different way besides the newsletter.
Yeah, I would for sure. Especially if you, this is why I like your earlier question about mapping out your year. So you kind of know, okay, what's next on the timeline. So you can be like, cool, maybe you have a list based on people who are interested in nutrition for rugby, right? And like, that's a subgroup. And you know that you're getting ready to launch a program that has a nutrition component to it. You might start asking them questions. You guys know this, I'm always about like market research, right? So maybe you can ask them to fill out a survey for you, right? Maybe you can, because you know that they're interested in that. They've already said that they were, because that's why they opted in. So you can start to engage them. You can start to give them little nutrition tips here and there, right? Maybe more than you would in your main list, because you know this is a super warm list. Use it to send them surveys, ask questions, get them to respond back, start conversations. These are your warmest leads. That's why it's good to know what direction your business is heading in launch-wise, so that you can pin down like, okay, like I very clearly am moving into this season now. Like I'm launching this thing next. Okay, who in my list are going to be the warmest leads for this program? These people, because they opted in for this. Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's a lot of work. It's more work than just like blasting out, but those are going to be your hottest leads. So it's worth warming them as much as you can. And even tell them the program is coming. Like, why not? Like, you guys know I'm all about transparency. Tell them the program is coming. Like, get them excited so they don't feel like, oh my God, I'm getting sold to right now. Like, we want to get it on their radar ahead of time.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you.
Good questions. Awesome. Excited. Okay, let's go with Jessica Smith and then Candace.
Hey, Jill. Hey, ladies. My question is simple, and I'm still catching up the last couple of weeks' tutorials, but I went to beta test, which was really good because is that kind of my radar already, because niches a little bit.
Yeah.
But I have to be slowing still, and I do to do best for one-on-one. I totally don't recommend, because it would give me a lot more confidence to know that are actually kind of be interested in me as a coach, but I need the confidence in not only the way that I structure the program, but just in what I'm doing as far as a coach for them.
Sure.
So what do you think about that for one?
Yeah, I would do it. I would definitely do it. Just limit your spots, right? To increase the exclusivity, just limit your spots. Cause I mean, you don't need 20 clients to get reps. You need right? And so what I would start with is just offering it I would start with personal invites. That's always the best way, especially if you're only going to get a handful of people. Start with personal invites so you don't have to like blast it out on social. So who do you know currently who you think might be a great fit for this? And then extend the invitation to them in a way that's like, hey, I thought about you for this because I know in the past we've talked about, you know, your struggles with nutrition or exercise or whatever. And I am doing this, and it would be like we're partnering up to do this together. And because, you know, I would love for you to give me feedback and, you know, I'd love to help you get the best results possible, I'm going to discount my coaching fee. My normal coaching fee is this, and I'm going to take 50% off. And here's exactly what we do. The other thing is, if you guys are doing beta testing with one-on-one, I would try to keep it to like 6 to 8 weeks max. Now, I know sometimes like longer they get better results, the longer they're with you. But if you're on the hook for like something super cheap for past 8 weeks, you're just going to come to resent it. And I would rather you guys like, you know, get them faster results, do it less, and then bump your prices pretty quickly. So I would say 6 to 8 weeks, handful of people, 50% off.
My question was like picking people that have some anxiety. Do you have like a few people that I could talk to already talk to me openly. But I would be a little bit scared to just like reach out without them having come to me already.
Yeah. So then maybe do a blast on social. Maybe do a couple of blasts on social. Because you just don't know who in your audience would want that, right? Like, you know, you've had private conversations, but
probably, right.
I get it. It like reaching out to someone being like, hey, you know, could use like some sobriety. Let's work together. Like that feels a little bit, you know, that could feel. A little
hey, I saw you slamming that bottle of wine.
Hey, every night you're doing that. Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of people who need that. Right. But I agree. Like let them come to you versus like you going to them, I think can feel a little threatening.
Okay, cool. And then I haven't switched my bit, and which has really been good for my following. Like every time I'm posting, I'm getting, so that's growing a lot quicker than it was before. I was kind of stagnant.
Awesome.
But I haven't really a lot call to action because I need to come up like new products and services essentially. And so I've been doing a lot of like stories and things.
Cool.
But I'm not doing a lot of call to action. And so what do you think I should do now while I'm lining up with my service products?
So you're already doing stories.
Should I just do like we did in the beginning? Like, yeah.
Yeah. If you're already doing stories, like every time you guys are doing stories about anything, call to action. There's not too many calls to action that you can do. And what's the worst that can happen? No one does it? Fine. Right? Like you have another story coming in a second, so it's fine. So I would say anytime you're on stories and you're sharing something, you can use a poll, you can use a questions feature, or you can literally say like, you know, point to the arrow down below that's like send me a message. So I would just try to do as many of those and start as many conversations as you can. So maybe that's the first call to action would be just start conversations with people, polls, training the click, stuff like that. So just what I would say in the next week is I would love for you to always have a call, at least one call to action to message you every single day.
Okay. Okay. Sense. I was thinking like my app, like one-on-one patient.
Yeah.
Cause it doesn't happen that often that they actually do that, but at least I'm kind of.
It's awareness. Yeah. I was gonna say it's awareness. Yeah. But even if you just like talk about, you know, go and apply, go to link in my bio, like, even if no one does it, again, like who cares? Like no one knows that no one did it. So it doesn't matter. Just, it's just you practicing saying it and getting it on people's awareness so that when they are ready to coach, they know that you're the person to go to. So just, let's just look at it as an awareness thing for now.
Okay, cool. I think for the thing you recommend like casts of what I would normally do.
Say what?
For one-on-one mending like half of what I normally do.
Yeah. Just, but like a few people, like just a few people, you know, and make sure you ask some clarifying questions. So for example, if they're going to pay half, like make sure you tell them like, hey, you know, but I want to make sure that when we work together that you are fully committed. Cause obviously like this is for both of us to elevate together. So if you feel like you won't be able to commit to 6 weeks or you won't be able to commit to 8 weeks. Like I totally get it, but just please like let me know because I'd rather have someone else in this spot who can take advantage of it or something like that. Just so, because you know, anytime someone doesn't pay that much, they're not going to pay that much attention either. So we want to make sure that we're getting people and managing
right. Their
applications from the get-go.
Okay. So I'm going to do a blast about, can you hear me? Okay.
You're going in and out, but I'm getting the gist.
Okay. So if I'm doing, if I'm asked about it, one-on-one beta time, I don't want to mention an actual number. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. So what I would
so just maybe it's
off. You can say it's going to be 50% off or that it's going to be heavily discounted. Just for a limited time, you can say that, but don't mention numbers.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to have a conversation with
them.
Make sure they're cool. Remember, like, you're picking them. You guys are going to be stuck together for 8 weeks. Like, you pick them.
Okay. Okay. Cool. All right. That's all I got.
Good. Okay. Well, let's get you to those calls to action. Let's talk about the services a whole lot more over the next week, and then come back next week and we'll get, we'll just check in and how it's going.
Okay. Good. Thanks.
Cool. Awesome. Okay. Let's go with Candace and then Jessica. I'm not sure which Jessica that is. Candace, you're up.
I have more of a tech question regarding Instagram. So I noticed that you've got your account, your Jill Fit, and then like you've got Moderation 365. Is that a separate account that you made for that program?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I actually didn't make it until like only a couple years ago because I wanted it to be something that could live on its own. Like, so it wasn't a program. It's more of like an education. It turned into like kind of a movement. It is associated with a program called Food Obsession Bootcamp, but really it was like, I wanted it to just be like its own kind of intellectual property separate from Jill Fit. So I wanted to eventually be a community of people that I don't have to be the face of. So okay. I saw your question in the group about like, should you create Instagram account for a program? I don't advise it, and like you still use a hashtag for sure, so we can like kind of keep track of the posts and things.
So just claim the hashtag, use the crap out of it, so that it's always going to be associated with you, but you don't have to create a separate account.
The only time I'd ever create a separate account for a program is if I was going to like put some exclusive content up there that only members could access, and I'd make it a private Instagram account. They'd have to request to join.
Okay.
So for example, so what is the freebie?
Oh, for mine, it's the Power Up Protein Challenge.
Cool. So where do you want them to check in with you? Do you want them to check in a closed Facebook group with you?
Yeah.
In your main Facebook group, maybe I would just run it there since you already have people in that group.
Well, I was going to do a Facebook group just for that challenge.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
It would be, if you wanted to, like in the future, maybe you could even run the challenge in your closed Facebook group that you already have.
Okay.
So you could use that as a call to action to get people into the group who maybe not are in the group, right? So you're like, hey, the challenge is happening, but it's happening in this group. So we have to get into this group for every, like, you know, so it would just also build that group. So after the challenge is over, now you have all these new people in your closed group. So that would be something to consider if you haven't already sent, people to the new group.
Okay. No, I haven't. I wanted to go ahead and just form the group and just get that, you know, the Facebook group. I wanted to go ahead and just form the Facebook group.
Yeah.
I've had my own company name like kind of taken out from under me. Now I'm just trying to make sure that I really establish my shit and claim it so that no one else can get it.
Yes.
So I think that's why I was kind of, you know, making sure, okay, is this hashtag taken? Can I make an account with this? So, but I totally understand what you're saying, but there's really not a need to have a separate account for it if they're not even going to be checking in there.
Right.
Because the Facebook group will be the main delivery system of the information.
Yeah. And that's where maybe if they show their food or whatever metric that they're going to be measuring, that's where they can put it.
Yeah. And my demographic is on Facebook more than Instagram anyway. So I think they'll be more comfortable with that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
They like to talk. So then on an unrelated question, a couple weeks ago, you had talked about how you had checklists that you had, like you've got a daily checklist and a weekly checklist and a monthly checklist. And I've been trying to kind of get some of that together for me because I'm finding it just really, like, I have more time now, but I feel like I'm getting less shit done. like I got my stuff done when I was busier, I think because I had to schedule myself more. I don't know, but I would love if you could share some of those things that you feel are important that you do every day versus every week versus every couple weeks.
Yeah. So there's like maintenance stuff, right? That's like should be on your, so I'm a big fan of like 3 things a day, like 3 things, no more. And if you have more and you have more time and more motivation, then that's great. But 3 things a day. So if you do 3 things a day, 7 days a week, that's 21 fucking things. And that's a lot of things. So 3 things a day. So normally for me, it's, you know, post on social, maybe it's, you know, coaching my coaching groups, and maybe it's, I don't know, respond to emails or something. These are more like administrative tasks. These are things, or if I, sometimes I'll put myself on the hook and be like, all right, Jill, you're going to go on Facebook Live every day for 30 days. That would be on that list. You're going to do an Instagram mini training on stories every day for 30 days. That would be on that list, right? So whatever the kind of like daily tasks, these are more like upkeep in the business. These are foundational pieces. So you guys, and I say this all the time, you don't know what to do, you post on social. Like, you have to build that body of work. And as you guys are still continuing to build, building trust, et cetera, it's never a waste of time. Second is weekly tasks. These are more of like your bigger, epic, more epic pieces of content. So for example, I always have an email newsletter that goes out, right? So that would be number one. When I was blogging, I would do one blog per week. Maybe instead now it's podcasts. I podcast twice a week. And so those have to go out. So those are always on my weekly to-do list, is 2 podcasts. So we publish twice a week. But it could be a blog. If you're a YouTuber, maybe you do a new YouTube video, longer piece of content every week. Maybe you're doing a Facebook Live, like Candace, I know you're doing Facebook Lives in your group. Maybe you just go live once a week. So that would be on your weekly to-do list. And then the big, and so still maintenance stuff, right? Still like kind of maintenance stuff, unless you put yourself on the hook to do something else. Like, okay, maybe I'm going to go, every week now I'm going to do a YouTube video, and that's new for me. So that's going to go on my list. I'm going to challenge myself to do a YouTube video every single week for 6 months or 3 months, or something, 90 days, something like that. And the last thing that I put on my to-do list is my monthly to-dos. And these are whatever big projects I'm working on. So what like big projects need to get done? So as we were talking about with Lauren, where we talk about like over time, you guys will have much more like planned out launches. Right now it's kind of like, cool, what am I doing next week, right? But over time, you'll start to give yourself more room to breathe, more like space between launching and stuff like that. So you'll know, okay, this thing's coming up, so I have to write my lead magnet. So for you, the challenge, maybe you have to do a landing page for the challenge. Maybe you have to write the follow-up email for the challenge, like some of these more bigger things. And I usually do those on the weekends. I'm usually like, okay, Sunday, I just shut down and I do everything on Sunday, or I do everything on a Saturday. That for me works best for my bigger projects. I find like on a random Tuesday, I have a hard time sitting down and like doing a sales video for my sales. Like, I just have a hard time doing the like bigger things. During the week, I'm much more regimented, and the weekend, that's when I take the time to put it, and I put it on my calendar. Like, okay, I'm recording all the videos for lean building on this Sunday, or I'm doing the sales page for lean building on this Saturday. So that would be more like looking at your calendar and deciding what like big things need to get done for that month.
Mm-hmm. So I think part of my issue is that I'm trying to do way too much stuff, and normally I can be pretty focused, but I feel like lately I've been really scattered. So I think I just need to decide, like, do this one thing, develop it, do it well, finish it, and get it out there. Because I think I'm just so all over the place right now.
So what are your three daily, everyone write this down. What are your 3 daily tasks? And again, you guys like should already kind of be doing these, and you can do more, but I love, like, one of my like favorite quotes is, if you have more than 3 priorities, you have none. Cause like, seriously, like, how many of us have to-do lists that have shit that we just keep rolling over every day? It's like, write book, write book, write book. Like, writing a book does not need to be on a to-do list, right? Like, that's like a big like project. These are like to-do lists. So like, what am I doing today? And what am I not going to sleep until I get it done? So don't just like roll over yesterday's to-do list and last month's to-do list and all that kind of stuff. If they keep rolling it over, it's irrelevant. Delete it. Or delegate it or something. So everyone should write down their 3 daily tasks. And these should be, again, just more maintenance type stuff, foundational type stuff, content-based stuff. And then just, Candace, just choose one project you're working on right now. Like, what's one thing that you're, one big project you're working on? That could be a lead magnet. There's only 2 things it could be.
I mean, that's the thing, is that I need to get this, you know, Power Up Protein thing. I need to get her done, and I'm trying to do so much other piddly little crap that, or I'm letting these big things weigh me down. So yeah. And all my content, you know, everything kind of needs to be leading people to the lead magnet. So I just need to focus on that.
Yeah. And give yourself permission to like to not do the other stuff right now.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so much time for you guys to create anything you want. Like when I think about the big tasks, there's only two options. It's either a lead magnet or an offer for pay. That's it. Those are only two big things that we could ever be working on. So what lead magnet are you doing this month? And then what offer are you focusing on this month? And that hopefully simplify things.
Cool. Just
information. You're going to be able to create all the things. In fact, probably a year from now, you'd be like, I have no ideas anymore, right? Because you've already created everything, but just give yourself permission to do one thing at a time, like you mentioned, and finish it to completion, debrief, and then go, cool, now where I want to, and you'll gather so much intel from just doing the protein power-up challenge that you're like, cool, I thought I wanted to do this next, but I don't want to do that based on how this one went, I want to do this other thing. So the next step will even reveal itself more, the more intel you gather.
Okay. Yeah, I had like 20 things on my list. So yeah.
Delete or delegate. Either do, delete, or delegate. Danny J calls them the 3 Ds. Delete, delegate, or do it.
Thank you so much.
Cool. It's great. I think a lot of us can relate to that for sure. And also, I will also just validate the fact that sometimes it feels easier to just like do errands. You're like, let me just go to the grocery store and let me just like, go pick up the dry cleaning. Let me just clean the house from top to bottom so we can not focus on this big, huge fucking task that feels so overwhelming. And you know what? When you sit down and you start doing it and you look at it, it's like not that scary, but in your mind, for some reason, it gets really big. Like, oh my God, do a landing page. I got to set up this thing. Like once you sit down, and I did this with lean building even. I was like, oh my God, there's so much shit to do. It feels so big. And then I just sat down and like did 80% of the shit in like one Sunday. So
yeah, and I don't know why I'm freaking out over some of this stuff. I mean, like I wrote a 300-page dissertation. I should be able to write a paragraph description of this challenge. It's
well, it's also different writing, so I get that too. But like, it's not. Remember, like you're not supposed to be good yet, right? Like yeah. Over time, you'll get much better. Just give it your best shot. That's all you can do. What are you going to do? And then all of us, we're not going to sit there and like just hyper-analyze it. It's like at some point, if you're over-analyzing it, you need to scrap it and start over. Because you did. It's not like, I catch myself sometimes, I'm like, I'm just analyzing this too much that like, it's not even going to make sense anymore. So I'm just going to scrap it and start from scratch. So I would just, give it, like I like to do for that kind of stuff. Candace, I'll set my timer. 20 minutes. That's all I'm giving myself. If it takes longer than 20 minutes, I'm overthinking it. Mm-hmm. You know how to talk about this program? You created it. Yeah, set your timer for 20 minutes. And if it's taking longer than that, take a break from it.
Cool. Thank you.
Combo, you got it. Okay, let's go to Jessica and then Andrea.
And I see me, Jessica?
Yep.
Okay. I can relate to like everything she said, just like ditto that. Cause I feel still so new to all of this. And so it's easier to just like literally mess around on Instagram and reply and comment and message than actually grow my business. And so I think the point where I'm at is I love that you just like call it how it is and simplify. Cause I tend to be someone that like opens 50 doors and then just like cries in the corner. Cause I'm like, I don't know what to do. And so I was like up all night in bed last night thinking about, okay, how do I simplify what I want to do? Like I need a product. So my niche is like perfect. And I have a whole bunch of people that are in line to work. And I don't know how to verbalize exactly like, I guess, honestly, what I offer because I've opened too many doors. So it's like I'm scattered. And so I would love your perspective. Sure. My niche is I'm older, right? I'm 40. I started my journey 2 years ago. And I did it from scratch, not being an athlete. And so I get my Instagram, I don't know how it's gone in Explore, but it has really blown up the last couple of weeks. And so my inbox every morning is 100 people that are women that finally say, someone I can relate to. You're older. You've had kids. Like, how did you start? And then how did you stick with it? So nobody like wants questions on exercise programs. They just want someone to talk to and be like, I need to get healthier. I want to do what you do. You did it. Great. Help me. And so I feel like this is so awesome. I have all these people that want help, but I have a couple of solutions, which I want to run by you. But my very first like thing that sticks me is I don't have time to respond to 100 people when it's like a very lengthy, like heartwarming, they hate themselves, they want to relate to you. And I started that in the beginning and it's like a 10-minute voice message. And then the next one, and then of course they write back and it goes back and forth and back and forth. And I'm like, wait, I need to streamline this to like send them somewhere with an answer or like, hey, this is my solution. Go to here, here, and here. And then hopefully at some point I'll make money doing it because I feel like everything I'm doing is free now. How do you do it? Because you have so many programs with so many people interested. How do you respond to people? What is, I guess, the first step of just even effectively communicating with them? Because I'm so behind and then I feel guilty.
No, yeah, don't feel guilty and don't worry about being behind. You're fine. You have plenty of time. So this is a good question. And I think the best way is, first of all, just get them somewhere else. Get them out of the inbox. Get them onto your email list. I think that's the best place. And then commit to emailing your list consistently, right? So what I would do is be like, hey, so-and-so, totally get it. I talk to women all the time who feel the exact same way. In fact, that was me 2 years ago. Totally want you to know that you're not alone. I think the best next step, to be honest, is to jump on my email list because I email my list every week with all sorts of tools, tips, and strategies around my journey and this kind of journey. And I know exactly what you're talking about because these are the people I work with. So I think let's get them out of the inbox and into your email list. And then just now you can blast out the solutions each week instead of having to individually coach people, right? Because these, you know, I'm thinking these would be great, you know, qualifying conversations if you were trying to do one-on-one coaching. But I think your time would be best used in a group coaching capacity. So, you know, because you do have a lot of numbers and whatever. So what I would do is get them on your list first, because now all of a sudden, now you have them on your list, you have them off social media, you know that they're qualified. So start a list of whatever you want to call it. And for people like this, and then just pick a date. So like maybe, you know, pick a date, June 15th, June 1st. And then as people start to get on your list, you can start to say, hey, you guys, I just want you to know, like June 15th, I'm starting this amazing coaching program. I've talked to so many of you individually in my DMs. I know that this is something that you are really craving, that you're really wanting. So keep an eye out. So it's just for you to like, I'm a huge fan of putting myself on the hook by declaring it publicly. So that's why I just pick a date. I'm just like, okay, I'm doing it. Like I have to get it done by that date, right? Because I already declared it and people are thinking like it's coming or whatever. So you pick a date, then start putting yourself on the hook. And then when you email your list, give them a little tip, tool, strategy, maybe like think back on your own journey, how you started. And that's the kind of content I would start to feed them over the email list. And then pick a date and then you're going to launch your coaching program. And you're going to say like, I'm only opening it up to 30 women at the beginning or 50 women. And it's going to be, you know, capped and we're going to do it in a closed spacer group and there's going to be workouts. And like whatever that offering is, there can be a component where there's workouts. Like I know you want to do live workouts and there can also be a component where there's a community aspect. Maybe there's a Zoom call once a week where you get on like this and you talk about maybe more of the deep stuff. Maybe it's not like a live workout, like, hey, we're going to train. It's like we have a conversation and we have more of a roundtable discussion. Like people are really craving that, obviously, because they're writing these long ass emails. So it is, I think, acknowledge. My formula is always acknowledge and then send them to the right channel.
That's a good point. So what would you think? Because I have like, oh my gosh, I finally did start the live group. It like gave me the most anxiety to put out there. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's out. Like I know it's not on Instagram. People are responding. Like, what am I supposed to do? Have like 340 people that are in there and they love it. Like they've seen results and they feel good and they're starting to kind of interact. And so I don't know when it's like going to click that. Okay. I know what I'm doing. So my hope is like when they come in to be able to say, would this work the same? I don't like writing. Like she was saying, like a paragraph, when I do posts daily, it's like the bane of my existence. It's like coming up. I just don't feel like I'm good with words. But videos, I'm better. I don't know why. I even do them better live. Like I overthink it, I think, instead of just being myself. Mm-hmm. So would it be okay to do exactly what you said, but instead of emailing them, I do capture their email. I've got pages of emails because that's how I have them join the link so I can get that information. Say, hey, great, join this on my Facebook group. Like step one is this exercise. Like that's what saved me. That is the very first place because it builds confidence, which it did for me. But then I also do kind of like I would do a video with what you said. So instead of sending that weekly email out answering the questions, I'd be like, it's even better, like you get a video with me and you can respond right there and hopefully other people would chime in.
Yeah. So what I would recommend for you, Jessica, is you're in a really good position with the group. So yes, get them on a DM, get them in the group for sure. Capture their email that way. And then for you, I would just be like, cool, for the next 30 days, I'm just going live in here. and I'm only talking for 5 minutes, because people will tune into that. It's a low barrier to entry. Like one little tip, strategy, like little, you know, tell a story about you when you were getting started. Like anything, it could be anything under the sun, just so they get to see your face more, that they get to be like so connected to you. Cause the workouts are great and they're gonna get awesome results from that, but they want the human to human connection. So yes.
They don't do that.
Right. So instead of emailing, just do it on the Facebook group, and just like, we'll have like little one, you know, little one tip or one strategy, like it could be anything. The most basic stuff people eat up, like, what do you eat after your workout? Right. Like super simple stuff. Like what, you know, what shoes do I buy? Like, what if I, you know, how do I, you know, train in a gym? What weight should I get? Like nothing is too simple. So, and then get on and just talk and keep it to like 5 to 10 minutes max so that they can consume them. And okay. You're going to get a shitload of reps. You're going to get really good at teaching. You're really good at public speaking, but put yourself on the hook to do it. And that will get your engagement way the fuck up. This is, by the way, you guys, if I was starting over, this is exactly what I would do. Close Facebook group, live every day, period.
What I need to do. Because I need, just need to get in front of people.
Friends, right? Because people add their friends because they're like, oh my God, this video is amazing. And they add their friends to the group. Right. And so that's how your group grows really fast.
Yeah. That's what I got to do. And I'll just put it all there. So here's the $1 million question. When do I start charging for this? Because everyone's responded so well that, because I do 3 workouts a week and I give a ton of tips, because one of them is like strength and it's like, pack your shoulders when doing a chest press. And I'll get someone that writes back, I never knew that. Like, that's why the front of my shoulder always hurts. And so I do know there's value to it. And it's a pain in the butt being like 3 times a week at that hour, I have to be there to do it.
Yeah.
I want to charge for this.
Yep.
But it's been 7 weeks now and everyone's so grateful. And I feel like I've gotten them hooked to where they'd be more willing to pay. But if I do just what you say, like it's just 3 workouts a week, they're saved to the thing all day. And then I offer the information, because that's my niche of like, they don't want a full workout. They want to be led with me by their hand because they're new and they want to know every question you just asked, to include shoes, to include what underwear I wear. Like they're so basic. What would you charge for that? And with the situation being 7 weeks, like, do I go another month and then ask for $10 or $15 a month? Is that too low?
So what I would do is, remember, like, people will pay, they'll come for the content, but they're stay for the community. So what I mean by that is they are going to join because they're like, oh my God, Jessica's workouts are amazing. But the reason why they're going to keep paying month to month is because of the lives and the connection that they made and the community aspect and all the juicy stuff that's not workouts. So the workouts are great and they'll love those. But they'll stay for the juicy stuff. They'll stay for like the emotionally charged kind of pull at the heartstrings connection. That, so I would, if I were you, is I would do 1 more month and I would go live every day. So tips, tools, strategies, whatever, or Monday through Friday, whatever you want to do. And this is where, you know, the soft skills type stuff, this is where you teach that, right? So like all those, answer the frequently asked questions, connect as much as possible, build the group up, but tell them, I would tell them like on June 1st, that on June 15th or whatever day you want, that, hey, you guys, so what's going to happen is we're going to move this to a membership. But here's the thing is you're going to have to add some additional value.
Yeah.
Right? So is it a Zoom call each week? Is it a group Zoom call once a month? Is it a nutrition challenge? Is it something like, there needs to be something else. So all the same stuff, but then something else that is like, cool, still 3 workouts a week. So it's that pain of disconnect. If they don't continue, they don't pay, they're going to take it out of the group. And they're going to lose access to the workouts, but more importantly, they lose access to everyone they've met and connected with. And they don't.
Oh, that's it.
Right?
Because they don't want to lose those connections either.
Right.
So that's what I need to do. I don't like doing stories. That's why I did your story thing. I just, like, this is fine. Live stuff is fine. But, like, if I record myself and I have to put on a story, I do it over and over and over again. So maybe if I, because I was just filming it and then posting it. But if I do it live with 3 people on, who knows how many will see it. I just will practice and it will get better.
Dude, first of all, no one wants to be perfect, right? So we know.
Yeah.
Like we do lives, like people, that's what makes it fun to watch is, you know, someone's like cat is like crawling on the table next to them and like the doorbell rings and like something happens where it's like, it feels more real. I think sometimes we think if it's not like perfectly put together, people are going to check out. But
yeah.
All you need to do is bring the energy. That's the number one thing. If you want people to watch your lives, I like to stand up when I do some of my presentations, especially my webinars and stuff. So stand up, good energy. Just like you were teaching a class. It's literally the exact same thing when you're talking versus teaching. So same exact thing, and that's all I would do. And we'll get a lot better really fast. But I am gonna challenge you to be a one take Jake.
Yeah.
Okay, turn it on, go. It is what it is, and I think you'll be surprised at how much people will love them.
That's my hope. Do you think for that amount of value, like 3 workouts and all that, like $15 a month? Like,
so you can do inaugural pricing. So typically with memberships, we have like tiered pricing. So if people get in, like these are new, like this, these are first people. I think offering them like $19 a month would be fine. But then I want you to immediately move to $29 a month. Cause that's a lot you're doing. And then eventually we'll go to 39. Eventually we'll go to 49. Like you should be constantly, every time you launch it, should be bumping the price because it's a retention strategy to keep the $19 people in. Right.
Oh, yeah.
So if they quit, they have to now pay 29 or 39 or whatever the current pricing is. So it's a good retention strategy. And you also want to reward them for being early adopters. So, hey, you guys, this inaugural pricing, it's only available for a week, $19. And then it's immediately going to 29. So if you want to be grandfathered in at $19 and hold it for as long as you're in the membership, make sure you join this week. And everyone who doesn't join gets taken out of the group.
That's so great. Well, you answered another question because I had a company reach out to me. You know, you get hit up by crap companies all the time, but this one is actually good that has an app and they give you a landing page and then you can just do all your workouts there. Right. And people pay $15 a month, but they handle all the finances. And then I can just use them to say like, great, here's my workouts. Here's my trainer. Like it made it really easy. And I think it's $15 a month, but they keep 20 and I take 80, but then there's no sense of community and there's no lives. So is it best to just keep my whole business and everything in one pot on Facebook and just, is that safe to put everything in that one community group? Or would you suggest doing the $15 app because it looks professional?
I would start in Facebook group. Well, the reason why I like Facebook groups, like some people have like some problems with it. Not everyone has Facebook or whatever, but like, honestly, I think I've seen it's the best community-based platform that we've seen. There are forums and stuff like that, but I can guarantee you if you have people paying monthly in an open-ended financial commitment, they need a community, period. They will quit so fucking fast if they don't have a community. And so I think if that's where they can do it, that's fine. You can still always have an app too, but the community needs to be in Facebook. So you can do both, right? Like you can have the community. And we did this when I had my membership back in 2012. We had all the workouts on a membership portal. And then we have a community in Facebook. So you can do both, but you definitely can have both. Yeah.
Okay. No, that was the main thing. And then if I shuttle them over there, so I'll wait another month and then just kind of put everything in that pot. And then great. If it gets bigger, does better, fine. Last question on that. Do you, because the finance side scares me of like charging people and then they want to miss a month or skip a month or it doesn't go through. Do you just do PayPal? With everything, yeah, would you suggest with this?
Yeah, you can use subscribe button because they can cancel themselves if they want, like through PayPal. Yeah, so don't be scared about it. Like, it's fine. Typically, most continuity memberships will last in this space like 3 to 6 months. If you have really high retention, you know, 6 months to a year would be awesome. But don't worry about that. I mean, people will default on payments, but what happens with PayPal is if they get a new card and they don't update their card in PayPal, it will send you a message and them a message that says we couldn't run your payment. We'll try again in 5 days. So normally I have my assistant reach out to someone and say, hey, so-and-so, your card didn't go through. Can you please update your PayPal account with your new card? It's going to try again in 5 days. And then typically it goes through after that. So, I mean, it's a little bit of like a manual, you know, depending on how many members you have, you're probably going to have to bring on someone to handle that, but you can handle it fine with small numbers.
Yeah. I mean, I started that. I was just thinking just that whole side of having to take care of it. So I'll enroll and I need to figure that whole PayPal thing out.
So you create a subscribe button. There's different types of buttons. There's like buy now and stuff like that. You'll create a subscribe button and then you can say, okay, it's this much and it renews every month or whatever. And then you can actually, there's a dashboard that shows you everyone who's active. So you can see.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do. Well, thank you. That helps. I feel like I just have to remember baby steps because then I've got people that want to pay for the coaching. They're like, well, great, we'll do all that, but I want more of you as a one-on-one coaching. But then another offer that came up is a supplement company approached me and wants, I'm kind of been coaching through them too. So anyone that buys supplements, like it's a half hour free nutrition. So I feel like it's just all blended. like I'm paying, like some people are charging, you know, a couple hundred dollars for the monthly coaching, but then if they buy like a $50 tub of protein, they get half an hour. I mean, it's just like, but then they think they get me all month. So right. It's just my boundaries. I just am like, I've got too many things open and admitting it all to.
So I would rather you really focus this next month, month and a half on your stuff. And yeah. I mean, you know, these companies, like they're smart companies. Like they're like, Jessica has a following and people love her.
Yeah.
I'm going to like, you know, leverage her. So I would like for you to focus on bringing in revenue in your business so that you can start saying no to some of these companies.
Yeah.
Using you as a coach or a trainer or whatever. And they're fine. Like they're well-meaning, but they also prey on coaches who don't have their own business. So that's why I want to develop your own business. So you don't feel like you have to hawk, you know, protein powder all the time.
Yeah. That's annoying. Okay. I get that. Yeah. Thank you. I'm happy with all of it. I just need to get it like all in a row.
Pick a date and work backwards. That's always my best productivity tool. Declare it and then work backwards. You'll get it. And we're here every week. So if you have any additional follow-up questions, we can walk you through the process.
Thank you very, very much.
You got it. Okay, let's go to Andrea and then Jack.
Hey, Jill. Hey, everybody. So I kind of just wanted to go off of what Jessica was saying. I recently like started, I just got an email from another, like an emotional eating coach. And she, at the end of her video was talking about her membership, and she has a membership for $35 a month. And it was just like, I think she does like a weekly or a bi, I don't even know how many videos she does, but I really liked that idea of like, they have like a little bit of access to her. Like her videos are maybe once a week, but they're really in depth and she records them. It's not like a Zoom call or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that was a really good idea. And then they just get a little more of her, but for $35 a month, I feel like that makes it really affordable for people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you ever done anything like that in your business, or do you feel like that's a good idea?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So membership, I have a love-hate relationship with memberships. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about this a couple times. I do like it if there's enough people in it. Mm-hmm. And if there's not enough people, it will suck the life out of you, because you're like, while it doesn't seem like a lot of work, let's just say you get 10 people at $35, you're making $350 a month, right? And then how much work is that on top of, like, you know, versus if you have 100 people in there, okay, now it's worth it. And retention is kind of a headache, and it's great, but it's like, cool, people have ADD, so like we have to constantly be like updating, there needs to be challenges, every month needs to be a different theme. Like I'm actually gonna send you guys a bonus tutorial on membership sites. I don't think that it's for everyone. I think it's for some people, like, you know, it sounds like maybe Jessica's audience is quite there where they're like, just give me whatever, and like they're willing to pay. But what I usually use as a rule to know if it's time to do a membership or not is to run a start and stop coaching program and fill it with at least 20 people twice. So if you get it to 20 people two times throughout the year, then you're like, okay, I'm going to graduate to a membership. Because membership is, in theory, it's amazing. It's like, okay, I have repeatables coming in every month. I know how much money I have coming in. I know I have this, my attrition is this and whatever. But you're on the hook to constantly be, it's as close as we could get to having a real job, right? There's constant, you know, content that needs to be there. There's a coaching, and you're going to be doing a lot of work for not as much money. So I do, while I do like it and feel like it is affordable, you need volume. I'm not saying you, I'm just saying you collective, like anyone who wants to do it needs to have a big audience to pull from. So you may or may not be there yet. So look at typically like where your audience is. And then I would start with what you're doing, which you have done, Andrea, which is the like start and stop group program,
yeah.
20 people twice, and then you'll know. So maybe, you know, maybe for you, it's in the cards for 2021 or maybe the end of this year.
Okay. Yeah. And it's funny too, because like, it's all starting to make sense. Like everything seriously start, it's not becoming this like weird, like thing that I'm doing. It's becoming like instead of doing a membership, like just do an 8-week group coaching program. It's an 8-week program. Like it's the same thing, except you just have a time limit on it.
And I think that it's easier for people to sign up for an 8-week program because an open-ended financial commitment is like a really high trust relationship, right? Where I'm like getting ready to just, here's my money every single month. It's going out the door, right? You have to hide. And I'm not saying you don't, but I'm just saying I think it's easier for them to part with the cash if they know that there's an end in sight.
Yeah.
But over time, you're going to build these like super fans who are going to want to pay you every month because they just want access to you, right? And that's really when you know that it'll be right for membership. You know, retention is really tough, you know, because I think sometimes we just think, oh, I'm just going to get the people in if I get enough people in. But half the battle is keeping them. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, you have to have these different like kind of challenges and, you know, themes that you're doing each month and giveaways and just a bunch of shit to like keep people. It's almost like a circus. We just got to keep people entertained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So I'm doing my freebie. It starts next Monday and it's going amazing. Like it's been so much work, but it's been like enlightening. Like it's just been great. I don't know. I've learned so much. I feel like I'm putting such good content, and then I posted in the group and I feel what some of the girls were saying was like making it an actual paid program when I'm done with it. So it's like already done. I just am promoting it for free and then it's going to be, you know,
yep,
seamless when it's getting paid for, which is awesome.
You mentioned that you just feel like, okay, this isn't a random thing that you're trying, that this is like an actual thing that you're doing. And how many of you guys have had that experience of like, oh, like this is real shit now. Like this is like, okay, this is actually like what I do. It's not just like something I'm dabbling in. I'm like, okay, like I'm actually taking this really seriously and I'm already treating it like it's a viable business. And I think once you make that like mental shift, all of a sudden you become like level the fuck up. You're like, all right, like actually this is my job now. Not just like something I'm doing on the side. This is like a legitimate way. And you almost have to treat it that way first before it gets there, right? And so it sounds like you are already treating this like, cool, this is my full-time job now.
Yeah, well, the thing that shifted for me is I actually got a part-time job working at a garden shop, like a nursery, and I just needed money. Like I needed it to keep me afloat. And those things are open during the quarantine, which is awesome. And I love flowers, so it's fine. And it's funny because like when I got that job, I literally got it today. And I was like, this is just a cool part-time job, but like what I really do is this. And it made me feel way more confident because I was like, I'm not doing fitness stuff at this job. I'm literally like watering flowers and talking to people. And it just made it exciting to like put all the energy towards that and not, or all my energy towards my business and just have this extra thing that just, you know, is helpful.
Yeah. That's exactly what I would do too. Yeah. I was like, I would just literally go get like a job at a coffee shop or something just to be like, if I needed to pay bills so that I could, like you mentioned, as soon as I leave the job, I turn it off. And now yeah. I switch gears into my like main thing that I'm like super passionate about and super excited about. So yeah, I mean, to me, that's great. It's the best of both worlds. It's like this mindless job that's just like, I get to make money and it's fine. But then I have this thing over here. And by the way, you guys, like, this is really important. If you go to a cocktail party or you're talking to someone and they ask you what you do, you say I'm an online business owner. I don't care if you have zero clients. That's what you say. You don't say your other job. Right. So you say like, I know Jacqueline, she's a teacher and she's doing her plant-based, you know, coaching program. She says like, I'm a plant-based coach. Like that's what she says at a coffee. Like, and it's almost like you need to say this stuff even just to yourself to like, you know, implant it in your mind that like, actually I'm taking this super seriously. I don't say my day job. I say the thing that I want to be known for in the space and what I want to build and what I want to create and what I want to grow. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Like it's becoming so, and the nice thing about it is like having this part-time job is like taking the pressure off me financially. So now I'm just like, there is like all this content and I'm like, I just have to share it. Like it's literally like my soul has to share this stuff and I will get paid for it. And like I'm doing FBA, so I get the logistics of it. So it's all just like coming out and it's like, I'm not going to be a florist. Like, obviously that's not what I'm going to be. So I have to be this. And like, this is, you know,
that's what you're passionate about. I love it.
Yeah. And then another thing, just a really quick thing, like when you guys were talking about writer's block and like kind of like spending hours on a post, like what I did this week that was really big for me was I just went and listened to a really good podcast. Like I listened to your podcast, Jill, like something that is speaking your language. And then it just like excites you and like inspires you and you're like, oh, like I want to write about that.
Love it. It's so good. I mean, that's the thing is sometimes you just need those outside inputs and it's so great because then you go, I'm gonna put my take on this. And like this is such a great, you know, we do that with the podcast too. Danny, she'll go and like read some other person's, you know, podcast titles and be like, let's do our take on productivity. Let's do our take on success. Let's do our take on, you know, relation, whatever it is. So yeah, you put your own take on it. Just go get ideas.
Yeah, totally. Super helpful, because like sometimes you get in that slump and you're like, I don't even know why I'm doing this anymore. Like, what the hell? And then you listen to someone's podcast about it and you're like, oh, like that's what I'm doing. Okay. Just random question. How do you structure, like, I'm having a hard time, kind of what you went over, like the three daily tasks. Like, how do you structure your day with like workout? Like, my workout's my priority. So like, I try to do that first. And sometimes I'm too tired after. Like, how do you structure this stuff?
So I've been doing this for a long time, but I have what works for me. So I like to work out in the morning. So I normally don't start work until 11. Okay. And I work from like 11 to 7 pretty much. That's like pretty much my day. 11 to 5, 11 to 6, 11 to 7. So, and typically I schedule something for 11. So I'm like, all right, whether or not I want to, I start work at 11, right? So then I just go, I have to work backwards. Okay, I want to get my walk in, I want to eat breakfast, I want to, you know, do my workout or whatever. And so I kind of plan out those things. And then I don't do a lot of mode switching. This is something that's, I want you guys to think about, is sometimes when you do have clients and you have appointments on your schedule, it's great, but then you want to like try and be creative mode. And that's two different ways of working, right? The creative mode where I have to sit down and I have to think about stuff and I want to research, I want to write. Like, this is a totally different way of working. You need a lot of space around that to be creative. And then there's the like just grind days, right? Where you're just like appointment after appointment after appointment. So I try to keep all my appointments on Tuesdays and Wednesdays as much as I can. And I'm just in grind mode. Like, I'm not writing long ass, you know, social media posts today. I'm not writing my email newsletter today. I'm not doing more of the writing and creative work. I'm just like boom, 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 appointment after appointment after appointment. I'm in a vortex. Mm-hmm. And then when I get to Thursday, I'm like, cool, I don't have anything on my schedule. So now I can really take the time to be creative. So try if you can. I know some of you guys are teaching classes, maybe seeing clients. Try to keep it like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, or all in the morning, right? So that you have the whole afternoon to be in creative mode, or everything in the afternoon. So then the mornings you have time to be in creative mode. So try to have big chunks of time that is one specific mode of working. Does that make sense? Because if you're constantly being like, I'm gonna have an appointment. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm weird with that. If I have an appointment at like 1 PM, I don't get anything done that day.
Yeah.
The whole day I'm like, oh, I got that appointment at 1. I got that appointment at 1. I got that appointment at 1. And I'm constantly thinking about it. Then I finally have it. And I'm like, I'm exhausted from like thinking about it all day. And I don't have any juice. So I think, you know, try to keep everything the same on days.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. That's exactly how I feel. It's like when I have a call at 2 PM, I'm like thinking about the call the whole day. And I'm like, I don't want to be late for the call. Like, I'm not even going anywhere.
No, the same way. I mean, I think I have a really kind of dysfunctional relationship to time personally, but
I discovered I have some OCD tendencies too. It's really crazy with like time scheduling and calls and workouts. And if I don't get my workout in, I'm like just absolutely thrown off for the day.
I think the quarantine has messed it up for us a lot, right? Like, I'm doing workouts at like 3 PM between calls. I'm like, this feels weird, but like you just do the best you can, right? They're not my best workouts ever, but
yeah.
Stay flexible with quarantine life.
Yeah, I totally agree. I guess that's it, actually. I didn't really have any concrete things. It was more the structure of the day thing, because it's just like, I don't know. Like, I'm going to get everything done. I know I will. It's just more like the pretty much thinking about a 2 p.m. call that lasts in my head all day. And I'm like,
you know, you're in launch mode right now. Like, you're promoting this thing. So you do have like specific to-dos, right? When you look at the 10-day promo guide, you're like, okay, I know at some point today I have to do a live, or I know at some point today I have to get a social media post up. So like, you do have things that you can check off the boxes. So it doesn't matter when you do that. Just know that you have to do that, right? So for me, I'm like, I don't go to bed unless I post. I don't care if I post at like fucking 9 o'clock at night. Of course, that's not ideal timeline wise, but like, I'm just going to get it done, right? So give yourself some grace. And then, you know, just, I always try and think, what are the biggest dial movers? And how am I spending my time? What are the biggest dial movers? So you're in launch mode. Just check off the boxes. That's all you need. One thing at a time, one day at a time.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks so much.
You got it. Okay. Let's go Jack and then Megan and then Shelley.
Hi.
Hi. What's up?
So I really just have a question about my method. So I posted a question in the Facebook group, and thank you, girls. Like, I got such great feedback and really, really helpful advice, but I'm just kind of stuck. And I know, you know, Friday is the day I'm supposed to do my whole thing with my beta testing. But you said June 1st before, so I forgot about the girls, and I thought that sounded like a great date. So I think I might push it just because I actually changed around my whole program and I like it so much better. It makes more sense. Okay. So I feel good about that, but it's just going to put me a little behind.
Okay. And June 1st, drop dead date. Got it.
What's that?
The June 1st, drop dead date. Got it.
Okay. And I need a method, I feel like. And so Doug's been helping me like come up with a method. And tonight is our brainstorm night after I got like some feedback from you. And so I'm just trying to come up with a method. And I was figuring out, do I want an acronym where every letter stands for something I cover in the program? Or can you just have like a regular word, so-and-so method, and it's not an acronym? Does it even matter?
If it's a method of some sort, I like it to be some sort of acronym, but it can be, instead of having to be like a word, like for you, maybe the acronym is vegan. And V stands for something, E stands for something, G stands for, like, it could be something like that. Or it could be the five Vs or something like that, right? It could be the five Ss. It could be the three Ds, right? Or something like that. So it doesn't, it can be an acronym or it can be like alliteration, something like that. So it doesn't have to be, but it should stand for something. So, but it can be like the four, you know, the five Ts method. Or something like that.
So it would say method at the end of that. So the five, four, the three, whatever, blank method is going to be the word at the end of that.
The framework, right, is a good one. So descriptors. It's a framework. It's a system. It's a blueprint. It's a method.
Okay. And then I kind of need like a description. Like, so this is my method. Great. Now, what is it? Do I have a little paragraph that explains that?
Yeah. So usually you want to have a tagline. So for example, you might say, you know, the five V's, the five V method, this system is designed to help you move from, you know, this and this to be more plant-based or something like that, right? So that would be like just a descriptor. It's like a one word, just tagline for what this is. And then you can say there are five different Vs. Each V stands for one of the steps that I'll be taking you through in my one-on-one coaching. The first V is this, the second V is this, the third V is this, right? So one single sentence to describe. And then you can say in the coaching, we're obviously going to go way a lot deeper in this method. I'm going to be giving you tools, strategies, tactics, et cetera, for each one of these steps. So it's a way for like people to know where they are on the path, right? Okay, we're starting with the first V. Cool. That's the first thing we tackle. Or whatever, you know?
So, okay. And then, so I would need to go in that order. Like, say it's the five Vs. This one needs to be first. It's not like I can do this one, and then this one, and then this one, and then this one. Or does it matter?
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be in order. Nope. So you guys know, like, I teach a three S's, right? So three S's of, like, what? And so I go, this is my method for helping people to know what to post on social media. There's three S's, three different types of content. One solutions, one is stories, and one is services. And here's how I recommend laying those out. One services post a week, two story posts a week, three solutions post a week, right? So you can go through and just teach that. So it doesn't have to be in order necessarily. I like acronyms because it's just, like, it's sticky. But if you can't, like, take out the thesaurus, you know, and like figure out different words. So start by just making a list of like just any sort of, usually that an acronym should be like an outcome or the point of coaching, or, you know, like if I was a personal trainer and I was creating a system to help people get lean at the gym, I might have like the STRONG program, S-T-R-O-N-G, and each one of those stands for something, right? So it should feel kind of related to the outcome that they're going to get if they implement this framework.
Mm-hmm. That's helpful.
Yeah. And it's kind of fun. Like, you know, you have to play around with it a little bit, but take out the thesaurus and be like, cool, these are like the main, you know, words that I want to get across. And maybe you have to change something out.
And then I can say creator of so-and-so method. And that's my thing.
Yep. Perfect.
And then, okay. I'll have to brainstorm that tonight. And then the last thing was, you know, if I say like, I'm a plant-based coach, I sometimes try to figure out, is there a better way to say it that sounds catchier or different that makes me stand out? Or am I just, I'm a plant-based coach, so that's what I am. Am I trying to be, I don't want to be cutesy, I'm not into that, but like more unique. So I don't sound like every other plant-based coach, Or do I just, that's what I am?
Well, you could say I'm a plant-based nutrition coach who helps my clients do XYZ. So that would be, you know, I don't know if there's any other, because you want people to, you want people to be able to get it too. So if you're like, if you try and make it too fancy or too like add like a word that, you know, is not a common word, people will be like, okay, but what is that? Right. It's just like, we've all met people like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a systems specialist technician. You're like, what the fuck is that? Right. We want to be something that we get right away. So you can say plant-based nutrition coach helping clients do XYZ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that adds a little more to it. I like that. Plus nutrition with my certification, that would be good to throw in there.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so I'm going to work on that tonight.
Yay.
Thank you.
All right, June 1. Got it on the calendar.
Okay.
Okay, let's go Megan and then Shelley. Let me unmute you. Okay, here you go.
Hey, so I created this 8-week Strength for Runners program, Strong Runners. I don't really know what else to call it, but it's basically like 8 weeks to run stronger, longer, and more empowered. I'm trying to think of a way to kind of tie in injury because I surveyed my Instagram followers. And I also didn't know what is normal engagement for Instagram because I have 1,700 followers, but only like 150 to 200 will see my stories right now, and not many are responding. So I feel like engagement's kind of low. So yeah, is there kind of a standard that you would expect for us?
Is that low, like percentage wise? I mean, everyone's just a little bit different, you know? I mean, it depends on like how engaging your stories are, right? So
right.
I'm trying to think of like, for me, where I'm at, I normally get like about 3,000 views. And I have like 43,000 followers. So I don't know what that is. That's like less than 10%, right? That's like 6%-ish.
Okay. So I'm around 10%. That's decent, I guess.
That's great.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that mine's like necessarily good either, you know? Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
But I think that that's on par.
Okay. And I'm trying to think of a way to kind of like where I'm going to price this. I'll probably do a DIY version that's lower price just for people that, because I know some of my followers are like without jobs and yep. just need a program to follow. Mm-hmm. But I definitely want to do some kind of option. I almost feel like I don't have enough insight into my people and what they really want. So I was thinking about offering like 5 to 10 free coaching calls, just mm-hmm. like really quick kind of discovery calls to like learn more about what they want. And then I don't know if I would like offer them a discount on this program or what the incentive is there, or if they're just getting free coaching from it.
I would definitely do coaching calls, free calls for sure. It's, you're going to learn so much about your people. And I think a lot of them will turn into sales without you even pushing. Cause they'll probably, like, if you're sitting there and you're listening and you're empathizing and you're like, totally get it. And like, you give them a couple, they might just literally be like, do you do this kind of coaching? Like, you'll be surprised how many people will ask you that. Like, do you offer that service? And then you know, I wasn't planning on talking about it, but I think actually based on our conversation, you would be a perfect candidate for this coaching program I'm doing right now that's coming up. So I think be prescriptive, listen to what they're saying. And if they seem like a great candidate for this, then you have a moral obligation to talk to them about the program, right? Like you're not gonna have to call and leave them.
Well, exactly. So I've mentioned the program, but what would you think is the best way? And I have about 260 subscribers on my mailing list, so enough to kind of invite them to a discovery call to like book on Calendly, or how would you?
Yeah, I would just use like Calendly, like open up your calendar and just, and make it low barrier to entry. Like, hey, like I'm actually, and you can say you'd actually be doing me a huge favor, you know, if you got on these calls because, and you can say they're super limited. They don't have a ton of time, but I really would love to talk to just a handful of you guys who, you know, are runners who feel like you maybe want to get a little bit stronger. To me, I'm just doing some market research in the business. It would help me out a lot if we could chat for a few minutes and call them like little, you know, strategy sessions or power calls or success sessions, something like that. And, you know, make it 15 minutes, 10 minutes. And then if there is an opportunity and you feel like, you know, this person is a good fit, then offer it to them. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then for the program itself, other than the DIY version, I mean, I'm pretty sure I'll answer my own question. when I'm coaching with them or when I have that call, I'll probably ask them some questions about would they prefer group coaching, something like FBA, kind of how we have week-to-week calls or kind of what they're looking for.
Yeah. You know what was really hard is that a lot of people don't know what they want.
Yeah.
So asking them what they want, they will probably just repeat something they did in the past, right? That they, because they don't really know what else on the menu. So you might say to them, like, you know, you decide ahead of time what, how the two offerings are going to be different. So you can say, you know, if you, which kind of person are you? Are you like a self-paced, like DIYer, and you just love to like be on your own and you're kind of like, you know, you just like to be, especially runners, like, you know, a lot of runners like to be on their own. Or you can say, or are you someone who feels like you really are craving community and like accountability? Because that's really what it comes down to, is ask them, don't ask them which delivery method they prefer, ask them what kind of person they are, right? So some people are just group people. Some people really crave connection. Some people love to be part of a community. Other people are just like, not, like I'm kind of a lone ranger. I don't really like a whole bunch of group shit. So, you know, ask them which kind of person they are. I think that's
okay. Yeah, that's helpful. The one other thing is that so far it's 21 pages. It's almost complete. It has like the letter at the beginning and whatever. It's got the whole program, right? But it doesn't have pictures. I basically have a YouTube channel and I say everything's on the YouTube channel. If you have questions, you just type the exercise in. So it's not, I mean, it could be improved probably in that way, but I don't want it to be too much of a program. So my other question was just for those of you that have done programs, or Jill, for you, how you, like with Treadlift, include those exercises. If they're looking at it and it's like DB overhead press and they're saying, what's this? You know,
so I would actually include a YouTube link in the PDF if you can, okay. You know, rather than just being like, go to my YouTube. So just make it easier for them. Okay. Yeah, I think that's totally fine. So if you have it somewhere, just take the YouTube link and put it in the PDF.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
That way it's easier.
Yeah, cool.
And you know, you guys, as you build this, like, you know, Megan's like, yeah, I can maybe do videos later. We can put on a portal. Like we can always add bells and whistles later. And then you just bump the price. So right now, based on what she's giving, the price is X, but once she adds more value, right, and there's like maybe a membership and a login and like all these kind of other things, maybe she, then she can increase the price as she adds more. So cool, put it out. That's great.
Thank you.
Love it. Okay, Shelley, what's up? Let me unmute you. Hi. Still can't hear you. I don't know why. Nope, can't hear you. You and Zoom have a complicated relationship, darling. I know sometimes you join on your phone. Yes, Danny J has a very complicated relationship to technology. I'm like, I don't understand how it always happens to you. How does it always happen to you and no one else? She needs some crystals to help her heal her relationship with technology. Hi, Amy. Did you want to say something?
No. Did I just like mute myself?
Yeah.
I did. Oops. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Sorry, guys. Do I want to say anything? Sure. Maybe for like a hot second while only as like a filler for Shelley.
Oh, I think she got it. I think we're back on.
Okay. I'm muting.
But if you want to, you're on next. Hey, Shelley, what's up?
I
now this thing.
Yeah. All right, I do have a complicated relationship with this. Oh, shut up. Leave. Okay, sorry. So my Fiverr project is ending, and then I was like creating an email, and it's been good. I have like 35 people in there, and they're still pretty engaged in it. And I only did it to like get, I don't know, to get traction to my website and stuff.
Yep.
So I was writing an email, and so should I, like, I was thinking, I was gonna ask like, what prompt should I put in it? As far as like, should I put like, hey, if you wanna subscribe to my newsletter, do I, like, I was kind of mentioning it, but I'm like, no, actually just like put it all in there.
Yeah, for sure. So there, are they in a closed Facebook group right now or what? How are you delivering it?
They're in a closed Facebook group. I have a question about that too, but yes.
Oh, cool, so give them a reason to get on your list. What are you delivering that's amazing?
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Just dangle the carrot.
So give them a reason to sign up. And then how much do you talk about like other services? Because, you know, I sell for Salad Master. I sell cookware. So I talk a lot about food. So it's like I have this whole other business that I do. And so sometimes I talk about it and sometimes I'm like careful about it. I don't know.
I think you can sprinkle it in, especially because you do have a couple calls to action and it's different audience, right? So like some people are going to want to do coaching with you and other people are going to want to do the Salad Master. So, you know, I would show it pretty consistently because it is your business, right? And it just because someone signs up for that doesn't mean they can't sign up for coaching also or your freebie or get on your list. So I would pretty consistently talk about it. I don't think it takes away. Different. It's different. It's a different business model than the coaching.
And would I put it in there like, oh, if you want to sign up for a cooking demo, go here. Or if you just want to sign up for my newsletter, do this. Or they do all of that in there?
Let's get them on the list first because then we can send them wherever. Like once we have them on a list, then we can talk about the Salad Master as much as we want to. We can get them to, like, we can talk about a demo. We can do, so let's just do one call to action to these guys. Let's get them on the list because once we own them and they're on our email list, then we can sell anything anytime, right? So I would start with that versus making them pick. Is that what you're saying? Okay. We want to make them pick, like get on the list or sign up for, like we want them to eventually do both. So let's get them on the list first.
Okay. And then I did have a question about the Facebook group because people were like, oh, I would have joined, but there's closed Facebook and then like, this gym owner said that, and my brother-in-law said that. They're like, oh, you should have another option. And I'm like, no. I told people, like, you got to have Facebook. That's what I'm doing. Yeah. How else are we going to communicate? It's in quarantine anyways. Like, there's no other option, right?
No, I mean, like, I mean, there's some people use Slack. I'm not, like, it's fine. Like, some people use Slack or, like, different forums. You could also do a, but that really the best way to have, like, an actual community. The reason why I like Facebook groups, and I know it is a barrier to entry. Some people are like, I just don't want to be on Facebook, and I totally get it. I will usually tell those people, just create an account. Just create a dummy account. You don't have to friend anybody. You don't have to follow anyone just for the purposes of being in the group. But what I have found is that it's so much better for the community because they get to friend each other. Like that's really where the magic happens. So that's why I love Facebook because everyone's already in there, right? We can stalk each other. We can see who has kids, who doesn't have kids, who works where. Like, you know, it's just, it's really, it facilitates that connection with them. That's why I like it. And it just, no other platform in my mind does that.
Yeah. And that's why I said to people. And then some people did join and they weren't on Facebook. And so when I send out my little email, I'm like, hey, check out the recipe that I did today on the Facebook. Because I said, like, that's where the action's at, like, just to kind of incentivize them to, like, you're getting content here, but you're getting content over there.
Yep.
And then, speaking of that, like, what about these groups? So, I ran a group in March.
Yep.
But it just died, right? Like, I don't, like, keep...
You can archive it. So, just archive the group. Or, if you're going to be doing challenges consistently, you can just keep one group as a challenge group, and you just do all your challenges in there.
Okay.
And then in the meantime, if there's not a challenge going on, then nothing happens in there unless you want to develop it more. That's totally up to you.
Okay.
Because you don't have a free group, right? In Facebook, you just have these challenge groups.
I just have these challenge groups. Yeah.
So if you wanted this lot, like whatever one was maybe your biggest one, maybe you can change the name of it and just make it like, you know, like a general group for you.
Yeah.
You can always run your challenges in there if you wanted.
Okay.
There's a lot of dead groups in Facebook.
Sure. I really like what you said about mode switching. I had never thought about that, but that's very true. And I should schedule. I never thought about scheduling my time like that. If I'm doing writing or
content creation to not have stuff with clients, because I do, I get very like, yeah, so it's really good. And this is, I don't know if I should ask you this, but yeah, I have a complex relationship. So my PayPal, like, it's not linked to my bank account, apparently. I don't know why. And then I can't get anybody on whatever because of quarantine. And so now I'm like, all the people that pay through PayPal, I don't know, I'm like getting nervous because it says it will, the sun's coming. Like I have to figure it out by June or I don't get that money. And I don't know what to do.
So it sounds like you need to upgrade to a business account.
Oh.
And then follow the prompts. It's free to upgrade to a business account.
Business account through PayPal. I don't know about this. Okay.
So just go in there and go to your account settings, and then it will tell you what kind of account you have. And then you can upgrade it. There should be something that says upgrade to a business account. And when you do, it will prompt you to attach a bank to it.
And then does it send money like some
like a dollar, yeah, to see if it works or whatever.
Yeah, because it keeps saying it's sending that and it's not. So I'm like, what?
So maybe their routing's not working or something. Maybe we'll check it. Yeah, because they will deposit a dollar just to make sure that it works or 20 cents or something.
Okay.
Yeah. And they should get to you. I mean, like if you put in something, like if you put, send something into their support, they should be able to get back to you.
Well, then I think I disconnected my bank account because it wasn't sending it. And so then I think that made it worse. I don't know.
Yeah. We definitely, it's hard. The tech stuff is tough, but I just commend your tenacity. Like it's one of those things where it's just part of the deal, right? You have an online business. So it's like, we got to stick with just got to try and figure it out. And it is annoying. So if you are just getting like to the point where you're just like drained by it, just take the night off and like come back and visit tomorrow. But yeah, let me do that.
Yeah. No, I mean, all the stuff. I watched the AWeber thing today. Like, I'm just slow to everything. So that part.
I don't think you're slow. You're taking action. Like, you know, you're getting people to pay you money. To me, I'm like, cool. Everything, right? Much rather you make sales than have AWeber be perfectly set up, to be honest.
Well, then I look at the email and I'm like, oh, this is so ugly. This is like so boring. And then. Yeah, and then I go back and I look at your emails and I'm like, okay, what is she highlighting or what is she making larger? And then I go back,
I don't know. Do your best, right? Again, this is the smallest your audience is ever going to be. So just mess up now, right? Like do your best now. Like this is the time to just like try stuff. And as your audience grows and whatever, like you'll get better. And that's just, that will happen automatically. So I do commend your action. I know you've been taking a lot of it, so.
Okay, cool. Hey, thank you.
Sorry. Good. All right, you guys. Awesome call tonight. Lots of strategy stuff. Appreciate you, as usual, hanging on for a couple hours with me. And next week, we have a new tutorial. So I'm going to be actually sending you two in the next week. One is going to be on Instagram stories. It's going to be a little Instagram story training that I did recently. And then also, we are going to talk about product development. So that is also coming in the next week or so. And again, I'm using the 6 months to teach you. That's why it's called Fitness Business Accelerator, because it is an accelerated education, right? So try not to get overwhelmed. If you are feeling out of the loop, if you're feeling like, holy shit, I don't know what's happening, all you need to do is just expose yourself to a tutorial. That's it. Just turn on in the background. Even if you're cooking dinner, on a walk, whatever, just expose yourself. I don't think, especially because you guys are showing up to the calls each week, like you know what's going on, you know what the terms are, like there's nothing you're going to be like, just have never heard before. We're moving right along. So try not to get too scared by that. Just log in, just listen to something and get on the page with it and just give yourself permission to just expose yourself. And when you're ready, you'll start taking more action. And again, there's after this 6 months is over, there's nothing else. There's no like secret things that you're not learning. Like now it's just putting into practice all these things consistently. There's no like secret, like seven figure, like thing that you don't know. Like this is these are all the basics. Good. Alrighty. Love seeing your faces as usual. I'll see you guys next week. And that's it. And post in the group if you need anything in between. Good. All right, guys. Have a good night. See you soon. Bye.